It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, you have heard from a reliable source.
Yes.
You call your sources birdies.
I do.
And you said this is a high up birdie, so I'm assuming the branch.
It's like an eagle.
Right.
I mean, what's the highest flying birdie there is?
I think the eagle.
The eagle has landed.
The eagle has landed. You had heard something as it pertains to Josh Rosen, which the situation in Arizona, Zach by hanging out with D-Mac, the situation in Arizona, before I pick your brain about what you heard.
Yes.
I think it may be the only of its kind in the history of the National Football League where an NFL organization could hire a head coach, draft a quarterback in the first round, and in the same calendar year, fire that coach, hire another coach, and pick another quarterback in the first round. I think people would be hard-pressed to find another example like what is exactly going to go down within one 365-day period with the Arizona Cardinals. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you hear about Josh Rosen?
The San Diego... Los Angeles Chargers.
You did that the first time around.
I know. Two nickels in the jar. The Los Angeles Chargers have already put on the table for the Cardinals a second-round pick for Josh Rosen. So never mind all this third-round stuff that we had been hearing. The value now on Josh Rosen on the table is a second-round pick, and the Cardinals want a first-round pick. So they're waiting on this to see if they can't find somebody else who's willing to go first round for Josh Rosen. My Eagle source said that in this year's draft, Josh Rosen would only be taken behind Kyler Murray. So if you believe Haskins and Locke are top 15 picks, being conservative, then Rosen a year later is still regarded by some as still a top 10 pick. So all the people that wanted to say Josh Rosen is garbage, look at him, what a waste, the value on him, Zach, is still very, very high. The fact of the matter is they're just going through a big philosophical change in Arizona, which if they had this philosophy last year with this coaching staff and the way they operated, they probably wouldn't have drafted Josh Rosen. Doesn't mean he wouldn't have gone. And don't forget, Josh Rosen was the fourth out of the Hall of Fame five that was taken. So if he's the fourth out of five, that means only in last year's draft would say, I don't know where Kyler Murray would be amongst all of them. But the value is still incredibly high on Josh Rosen. So we'll see if somebody's willing to offer a first-round pick for Rosen, but his value right now is a second round, not a third, not a fourth, nothing like that. I think that's pretty big news.
Well, I think that it's news for sure. Let's start there. But I think that I'll phrase it like this. I think it's predictable news. Not to say that it's not news.
Do you find the Chargers an interesting team?
Not really that interesting.
Got to move on from Philip at some point.
Eventually, right?
Yep. Like Flacco, I would say Rivers and Flacco are kind of maybe 2-3 years left, something like that. So if you want to talk, and how interesting was it to have Kevin Hogan on, Zach, to talk about the value of virtual reality for quarterbacks that don't get reps? It's a no-brainer, right?
I just don't know. Hold on. Before we do the virtual reality thing, I want to give you pushback. Philip Rivers and Joe Flacco, to classify them the same, saying they have about 3 years left. Maybe with Philip. Philip's 37.
Oh, what do you think Flacco has left?
Well, I don't know what he has left, but I know the potential for more in the tank just by age. I mean, they're separated by 3 full years. If they went to high school together, one be a senior, one be a freshman. And by the way, when we talk about Philip Rivers and the time he has left, it's only age-related, like only on birth certificate-related, because Philip Rivers played out of his mind this past year. He showed no signs of slowing down. So I don't want to, you know, whatever.
Do you know Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns 1 year, and 2 years later it was it wasn't exactly the same?
Look, it can happen quick.
Yeah.
But for Flacco, more specifically as it relates to us, I don't want to get painted as a, I got called this past year, a cockeyed optimist. I don't want to get painted like a cockeyed optimist. But who's to say that Joe Flacco can't play for five more years? He's 34.
I don't know. Maybe, but I think any quarterback who plays a day after 37 is, you know, that's a bonus year. That's a bonus play. I don't think you can count on anything after 37.
I agree with that. Not going to disagree with that.
I mean, sure, it's Tom, because everybody looks like a Tom Brady, and Joe Flacco said he's going to play till he's 60. But 37 is kind of where you draw the line. You just can't reasonably expect people to be effective in the NFL after age 37. If they are, awesome. But you can't. That can't be a plan.
Right. I agree. It can't be a plan. But we are seeing these guys, and it's not just Tom Brady. I mean, Drew Brees, what did he finish second in the MVP voting? He's 40. Tom Brady is right there, and
you can always find one or two exceptions.
Sure. Well,
do you really want to go through the laundry list of quarterbacks who have retired before the age of 37?
Oh, no. I'm not framing an argument like, hey, we shouldn't think about another quarterback because Joe Flacco is only 34 years old.
This is the khaki pants road, by the way, that you're kind of tripping down right now. Be careful. Because when you're tripping down khaki pants land, hope becomes a strategy.
Well, no, I think you're misrepresenting what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we should plan on Joe Flacco for the next 5 years only because of his birth certificate says he's 34. What I am saying is it is possible he could come in here and play well and be the quarterback for 4 or 5 years. That's all. Can't two things be true at the same time?
I just don't like hope as a strategy. That's all.
I'm not saying that we should be going all in with this concept. I think we should be talking about Josh Rosen. You know, I don't think that's crazy.
Well, I see where you're going. I wouldn't disagree with you that we should be talking about it, but it's just never going to happen. The Broncos are never, first of all, they never give up a first-round pick. They could have done last year. They're not going to. They're not going to give up a second-round pick either. And you know what? They shouldn't, because it's a win-now mode, and you need that second-round guy to be helpful. Hopefully, you move up, get an additional first-round, Garrett Bradbury, and then you get Mack Wilson in the second, and then you get my guy DK Metcalf in the first.
Oh, hard pass.
Sounded better and better.
Hard pass. Holy moly. I just logged on Twitter, and Emmanuel Sanders is going scorched earth.
A knee?
I'll tell you next.
What?
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Holy moly. Emmanuel Sanders.
I didn't do it. This can't be about me.
He is going at a sports talk show host.
Sports talk show host?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend like I know. I know he's been involved with sports for years. It's not you. So you can take a deep breath. Emmanuel Sanders has shifted his focus, and boy, has he... There is a dude named Mark Madden, and he does, he hosts a show that is a 3-hour show. It's a daily show. He's not just like a, disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a sports show. He also serves as part-time sports columnist.
Well, he's a sports guy in Pittsburgh.
He's a sports guy in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
He said... And he tagged Emmanuel in a tweet in response to someone questioning someone's truth-telling.
Well, I think we should mention, out of that whole interview we had yesterday, which we'll replay at 5, I didn't even realize this until we came on the air today. There's a Pittsburgh story element to this. You want to explain?
Can you?
No, not really, because I'm not even sure. Wait, it was on ProFootballTalk.com. It was...
Oh, you're saying... So here's... Okay. What he said to us yesterday that got picked up nationally on Pro Football Talk and First Take was his story about leaving the Pittsburgh Steelers when the manager, Kevin Colbert, said when he offered him this 3-year deal, I think it was $9 million, $1 million guaranteed, and Emmanuel said, I'm not going to take the deal. Kevin Colbert said, "Who do you think you are, Antonio Brown?" And that's what's got picked up. It was an awesome story.
It was nothing to us.
Right. It was an awesome story in its entirety, but we didn't focus on that part. We both kind of were like, "Wow, you know, wow, that's an intense statement."
So my guess, that story though in Pittsburgh today was a story.
Sure.
I'm guessing.
Sure. Yep. So the Kevin Colbert conversation was getting talked about. They were saying, you know, should he have said it? Should he not have said it? And then this person tweeted and said, "I tend to throw around gray human from time to time as a joke, but this is, I'm serious. Kevin Colbert is a gray human, blah, blah, blah." And this guy, Mark Madden, jumps in and says, "Amen." Then he tags Emmanuel Sanders and he says, "Emmanuel Sanders is flat out bleeping lying. He's a scumbag." Talking about Emmanuel. Emmanuel, 2 hours ago, hops on Twitter, quote, "Who are you calling a scumbag, you dirty piece of bleep? Mm-hmm. You know nothing. I just pictured you with breadcrumbs all over your shirt while you were typing to call me a scumbag. Watch your mouth. If you think I'm lying, then that's your opinion. But the disrespect, I'm not dealing with." He fires again at Mark Madden.
Okay.
"Name one reason why I would lie, you filthy disgrace of a human being."
Wow.
"Just stay on the radio. You have a face for it. LOL. Like I said, state your opinion, but don't ever tag me in anything calling me a scumbag. You reporters are real tough guys, I see." Another one at Mark Madden.
Again.
"Instead of running your mouth, you should be running on a treadmill." A separate tweet at Mark Madden.
I'm laughing on that one.
"Truthfully, you're a loser, bro. My dreams are your reality. Convo ends here." Then he continues to retweet about seven different tweets at him with these pictures of him that are Photoshopped. Then he fires again about an hour ago. "Mark Madden looks like he's getting ready to compete in a hot dog contest."
Well, that's kind of funny.
At Mark Madden, "I know this is within the last hour. I know you're a loser, and I usually don't entertain losers, but I have time today. I'm sitting on a private plane with my beautiful wife. Life is amazing over here. Cheers, mate."
All right.
That is something.
Well, I'm laughing.
He went hard.
Well, listen, there's a big difference between what Mark Madden said and the criticism I've had about Emmanuel over the years. Because that's clearly a personal thing. You know, my point with Emmanuel, this, and again, this is years ago, was that it was a bad thing for the chemistry of the Broncos 3 years ago. Anyways, you'll get to it at 5 o'clock, but Emmanuel, wow, okay.
Chad just texted me.
But most of those are pretty funny. You know, you should be at a hot dog eating contest. You're sitting there with crumbs dribbling down your chest.
It sounds kind of Trumpian, to be honest with you.
I mean, calling somebody a POS is, you know, you probably want to stay away from that. But the other stuff is actually, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know.
Apparently, this Mark Madden guy, Chad Brown, just texted me. He said he's been on NFL Network's top 10 show a number of times, gets, you know, featured here and there. But yeah, he's got a new target. But he,
all right. Well, that's fun, I guess.
Emmanuel did say something on Twitter today that didn't have anything to do with you, didn't have anything to do with any other sports talk show host. But it is a very interesting question that I think we should take a step back and ask ourselves. And I'll tell you why next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
Interesting tweet, D-Mac, from Emmanuel Sanders from earlier today. Not to do with anything that the interview yesterday and how much traction it caught, but more just of a football-related question. And Zach Bye hanging out with D-Mac here on The Drive. He said, quote, "The 2 years I played with Peyton, I had 1,400 yards in 2014, which equated to a Pro Bowl bid and a top-five finish, followed by an 1,100-yard season and a world championship in 2015. Imagine my career imagine where my career would be and talks would be if I played with him my entire career. Now, I think anyone can say that. What if I played with Peyton Manning my entire career?
Well, Marvin Harrison's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Brandon Stokely lasted 15 years. You know, he elevated a lot of guys. And obviously that wasn't the sole reason for Stoke, but he elevated, you know, he elevated everyone. But I think the question more fundamentally is fair. Emmanuel Sanders' prime here in the last handful of years, still very much in his prime, it's come without a quarterback.
And I
wonder, to his question, he said, imagine where my career would be and talks would be about if I play with him my entire career, aside from the Peyton stuff.
Listen, I get it. I get it. Everybody wants to make more money. All right?
I'm not talking about the money.
He's making $48 million over the past 6 years here with the Broncos. I get it. And listen, there's a lot of regrets, I suppose, in life that you may have. But this is the issue. Joel Klatt coined the phrase, at least I thought he coined the phrase, you know, receiver is a dependent position. And he's talked about, you know, receiver being a dependent position, meaning you can't do anything until the ball gets thrown to you. And so, okay, fine. But you're right. There's probably a lot of wide receivers, Zach, who would have better careers if Peyton Manning was their quarterback.
Again,
he's really good at being a quarterback.
Again, I don't want to get bogged down because, like you just said, anyone can say that. But more of competency at the position. You know, if you look at Peyton since he walked out the door, starts from Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum. These have all been guys who are just that. They're just guys.
Well, that's a bummer. It's the way it goes, though, when you play wide receiver. You're a dependent position. I remember when you want to see depressed guys. You should have been around here when, like, Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas had Tim Tebow as their quarterback.
Right.
I remember Decker came into studio once, and Eric was always a cool dude, still is, and it was fun, you know, being friendly with him. He may be sideways with me because I just could not stop making fun of the TV show with because that show was so stupid. I mean, it was funny how stupid it was.
Don't tell my wife that. Big fan of that show.
The Jesse James, Eric Decker show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesse James, like, still gets, like, she's a terrific musician. She's, like, on the...
You know what?
What was the name of that show again?
Life with Eric Decker with a shirt off talking about what we're going to do in the bathroom together?
No.
That's too long.
No. What was the name of that show, fellas? The Decker Show.
How are they going to know?
Is anyone listening to that?
Why would you ask a bunch of guys what the Jesse James, Eric Decker show was? Eric with his shirt off. That's what I called it.
Eric and Jesse. Thank you. Eric and Jesse.
They talked about their sex life more in that show than...
It was kind of forced, yeah. It's kind of forced.
Anyways. Eric came in here one time after the season, and I was like, whoa, what's it like, you know, catching passes from Tim Tebow? And he goes, well, first of all, he's a lefty, so the ball's spinning opposite of, like, how you are used to catching it. Start there. And he goes, one pass is like this, and he kind of circled his finger one way. Another pass is this, and he circled it another way. Another pass is this. You know, it's just like, he goes, it was really hard catching passes from Tim Tebow because the ball was rotating in a different way every single time. So if you want to feel bad for somebody, you know, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers for Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas when Tebow was here. I mean, it's terrifying. And everybody wants to get paid. And if you have numbers, I mean, you know, people look at numbers. So, I mean, I get it.
But in the case of Manuel, like, he is so... he's a top 10 receiver in the history of the Broncos. He's a top 10 receiver in the history of the franchise.
In terms of what? Yards and catches and touchdowns and all that?
Yeah. I know yards for sure. I think touchdowns, he's right outside maybe 12 all time.
Well, Demaryius Thomas is second behind Rod.
Yep, he is.
I don't know. Listen, you got it. We'll have the interview again at 5 o'clock. The truth of the matter is, here's the real truth of the matter. We haven't been talking a lot about Emmanuel Sanders this year, period. And it's we haven't said anything really about him because the impact that he has on the team now at the end of his, you know, 3-year deal which essentially he had a 6-year deal with the Broncos. He had one contract for 3 years and another contract for 3 years. So this is the end of it. This is the last year. And if you want to just lump those two contracts back into one, it was a 6-year, $48 million deal. And he's $8.5 million short of fulfilling it. So when I said to him in the interview, you'll hear it, well, are we more, you know, sort of an interesting next step, or are we at the end? And that's unclear right now, because he's got to make the team.
Right, and he knows that.
So this is different than 3 years ago, when clearly he was going to make the team. He was about to get a monster contract from the Broncos, and absolutely was going to be, you know, this huge leader. Well, since he signed the contract, they went 5-11, 6-10, and now we're barreling down whatever path this is. So, listen, I know he was great for him last year when he was healthy. I know he could be productive with Joe Flacco. No doubts about it if he comes back healthy, which I assume he will. He said his rehab's going great. But the question is, you know, what's really the future? Now, if you want to tell me he's going to ball out of control and he's going to be ripe for another 3-year contract for the Broncos, well, you know what? Sign me up for that, because that means things are going awesome. This is like the Case Keenum conversation we had last year. He signed a 2-year contract, Zach. Oh, okay. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means he's going to, and then it could go either direction. But ultimately, weren't we all theoretically rooting for Case Keenum to be incredible?
For sure.
And then get another contract after that?
Mm-hmm.
Because if that was the case, then things would be amazing. We'd be going to the playoffs. We'd be excited. So we're all rooting for Emmanuel Sanders. If you're a Broncos fan, you should be rooting for him to be successful here.
Although I can't see a scenario where he's a Bronco after this season, regardless of
regardless
of what happens.
Well, hold on. I'll give you a scenario.
I'm ready.
He comes on. He's named a captain. He thrives in a leadership role where he hasn't really been put in before. He catches 9 touchdowns and has 85 catches for whatever yards that would add up to be. What do you do with that player?
Well, he's
a contract or not?
Well, they're going to be one of the teams in the NFL that would be offering him that, right? Like, he's not on under contract beyond.
So you're saying if he has no, that's right. He's a free agent. So you're saying if he has a great year that he'd be looking to leave anyways?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because
if he has a year like that with Joe Flacco, he'd be looking to leave?
Well, I think it's about the money. This would be his last contract. So are the Broncos going to offer him the most money? I they're going to be one of 32. It's the table is going to go back to even.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you saying? To have a middling sort of year, and the Broncos offer him or are you just saying,
I don't see a scenario where Emmanuel Sanders...
So if he has
Sanders,
a great year, he wants to leave. If he has a middle-of-the-road year, the Broncos want to move on.
Yeah.
If he has a down year, you know,
That's right. In both scenarios...
Well, if he has a down year, he probably just gets cut.
Sure.
I mean, if it's really not working out.
Sure. Or he may get brought into camp to make another team, but I don't see a scenario... In any which way, whether he has a down year, a middling year, or a great year, where he is a member of the Denver Broncos in the 2020 season. Can't see it.
Well, we kind of discussed that in the interview, and that's coming up, I suppose. But by the way, of all the Broncos' issues, Sanders is like, I mean, how low would you have to go down the totem pole till you hit, like, you know, Emmanuel Sanders this year?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Let's think about it.
D-Mac.
Draft?
Sure.
Okay.
But that's part of it, though, because we don't know if this guy is going to come back.
Well, let me just give you some issues off the top of my head.
Sure, go ahead.
Draft, bigger issue. Coaching staff, bigger issue. Offensive coordinator, bigger issue. Quarterback, bigger, much bigger issue. Chris Harris situation, bigger issue. Offensive line, bigger issue. Health of Philip Lindsay's hand. Stop me if I'm wrong. Bigger issue.
I could give you pushback on a lot of those.
This is
our franchise receiver. This was a guy that was going to be on pace for 1,200 yards. Having him a part of this offense is a big deal. I think you're minimizing it too much.
Really?
If Emmanuel doesn't come back healthy, the draft would have already happened.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come back healthy and he's not ready to play,
yeah.
Who is our number one receiver?
Courtland Sutton.
Who's our number two receiver?
DK Metcalf.
See, but again, you can't put Nikhil the toothpaste in the back of the tube, right, because on, the draft is going to happen before we know he's healthy or not.
I talked to my another birdie.
Chirp.
I had my birdie conversations.
You guys share worms?
Said that this is one of the worst drafts, period. That next year's wide receiver class is actually much stronger than this year's wide receiver class. And if you really wanted a big body possession guy who can do more for you on a consistent basis, you'd really look at a guy like N'Keal Harry or Marquise Brown rather than DK Metcalf. So I could give you that. Who's our number two guy?
Like this,
N'Keal Harry in the second round.
This is an issue. This is like this right here is an issue.
Whether we I don't know.
Whether we have our premier wide receiver back healthy, I think it's a big deal.
So hold on. Should we be looking at a wide receiver then in the first or second round?
Good question. Good question.
Yeah.
I have an idea that I want to share with you. You have been proposing
Oregon
ideas.
About to knock off Wisconsin, by the way. 12 over 5.
Another 12-5, huh?
Yep.
That'd be the second in as many
two
days.
Of them this year, yep.
I have an idea that could change the way that we take in March Madness. You tell me if I'm crazy or not next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I saw an idea. I'm not going to claim it for myself like a lot of folks would. And I don't even know who to give credit to, but I saw it on Twitter.
I came up with it.
Hey, you would.
Now, what'd you say?
It made too much sense. You mentioned earlier in the show, March Madness comes around once a year. And you have one game on one channel with all the scores up at the top of the screen.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, now this is all owned by Turner. So you got True TV, TNT, yeah. You know, CBS, whatever. And you go, oh, you look at the screen, you go, oh, Belmont's, you know, within one. And then you go, okay, what's True TV? And then you bang it.
Right.
How do Americans, a lot of Americans, not all Americans,
right,
watch football on Sundays?
The not the ticket, the
Red Zone.
Red Zone, right. Sorry.
Red
yes.
Zone. March Madness needs a Red Zone channel. You throw to the game.
So you have the individual broadcast, but you also have the Red Zone channel.
Exactly.
Where one person kind of hosts to it, and you can see things going on at the
you
same time.
You throw it, just like Scott Hansen.
Well, don't they kind of do that? No, do they not go split screen at all?
No, they never go split screen. Now, they will tell you, hey, this game's happening, they're within three, and then they'll minimize it again and go back to the game. They'll never break out of that game. What we need is a unified channel that will do the pushing and pulling for us instead of me grabbing my remote and manually doing it.
That'd be cool.
It's 2019. We need a March Madness Red Zone channel.
That's pretty cool. That's a good idea.
All right.
Love that idea.
Cool. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I really like it. I would love that. I mean, it's really hard to watch just, aside from the Broncos, it's really hard for me just to sit down and just like watch another just NFL game. I mean, it was pretty easy watching like the Rams and the Chiefs on, you know, that particular night. That was amazing.
Sure.
But in general, and let me tell you, if that Super Bowl game was in week 10, people would be asleep on their couches or nobody would be watching it because it was just so ridiculously boring.
And here's the thing. That's with the NFL where you know all these guys. In a college sport where the names aren't as identifiable like they aren't in college basketball, you know, or do you really, like, who do you know from Oregon and Wisconsin and Colgate and Tennessee and Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky?
Nobody.
Exactly. So to sit there and watch 40 full minutes of game time, 2 hours of TV time of Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky, it's just not practical. If you did the pushing and pulling,
it's a good idea.
And don't touch my remote, you do it for me, and let me just be a lazy American.
It's a good idea. Actually, I'll give you a little update, too. I did some little homework earlier today, because I'm curious how they just had the rules committee meeting down in Arizona, and mm-hmm. they're going to have the owners' meeting, which should be interesting for Robert Kraft, I guess, coming up here over the weekend at the Biltmore, very fancy place down there in Scottsdale. The Broncos have this proposed rule about the 4th and 15. Now, I asked about the genesis of where they came up with this, and I was told it's very specifically 4th and 15 because the Broncos had their analytics people try to figure out percentage-wise, analytically, what would be the same likelihood of converting a 4th and 15 from the 35 as a surprise onside kick back in the old days before they changed all the rules.
Yep.
So, for example, not 4th and 12 like the AAF, but very specifically 4th and 15. So the Broncos research showed them. Now, you got to think back to old school onside kick like when Sean Payton did it at the Super Bowl at halftime. You know, one of those things where you could run up on it. You didn't have to have lines balanced. It was a whole thing. So what has sadly happened with the onside kick is because of rules for safety. The rules of safety have taken the onside kick to the world of what the extra point used to be. So even though the likelihood of recovering an onside kick wasn't great, there was better chances in the past than it is now. It's just incredibly unsafe. So this is I hope the Broncos bang the table and push this forward. I don't think it goes far enough because they only want to do it like in the fourth quarter or when you're behind or, you know, something like that. I think it just should be every single time, period. Like every single time you score, you get the ball. It's 4th and 15 from your 35.
So we talked about this
because most of the times it's going to be a punt.
So we talked about that exact thing on Stokely and Zach. Stokely said the same thing as you, and we were saying, you know what? If you have another dynamic offense that you don't want to give the ball back to because you know they're going to outscore you, would you try to give yourself another opportunity and keep the ball away from?
Now, here's part of the argument. The likelihood of getting a first down because of pass interference and like a penalty all of a sudden kind of rears its ugly head. So, yeah, okay, that might happen, but it's still a football play. By the way, Brandon McManus was at the Broncos facility kind of chatting about this and sort of speculating, well, what if they just went back to the old rules or something like that? But my point about Brandon was kickers should be the biggest, place kickers should be the biggest fans of this. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense because this isn't part of their job kicking off. Yeah, but the real value of a kicker, Zach, is to actually kick field goals. I don't think you're going to lose money on that. And why would you want to mess around with an onside kick? Because nobody can really kick an onside kick. Nor can they. Nobody knows where it's going to go. They don't want to practice it. Like, kickers should be all for this. And then again, who gives a crap what kickers think?
Look, I want to ask you one question because we're going to replay this Emmanuel Sanders question. I haven't asked you it today yet, but it's been on my mind and other people have asked me and I don't necessarily have an answer. Yesterday during the interview,
yes,
when he said, give me specific examples why I'm not a good leader, why did you leave the examples in the chamber? Why did you leave the bullets in the chamber? Because you have the examples,
yeah,
and you chose not to use them, and I'm very curious why. Because it seems like, from the outside looking in, that you didn't have merit. If you hadn't been listening to the show and you only watched yesterday, you know, I showed it to my buddy Terrence, and he goes, well, it doesn't seem like your buddy D-Mac has a leg to stand. And I said, he does, but he just chose not to go there, and I want to know why.
It's a good question. You know, 10 years ago, I would have gone there. 10 years ago, when I was a little bit more feisty, I definitely would have gone there. 10 years ago, when I asked that terrible coach at CU, like, why he was playing his kid and got in his face, I would have gone there. Maybe maturity, Zach. Maybe just a little bit more experience on my part. Maybe development and growth for me. Maybe a tendency to really want to take the high road when I can take the high road rather than get into a back and forth. When you hear this being replayed, you'll notice that Sanders is basically referring to things that happened a long time ago. And I didn't want to jump down his throat or yell and scream about things that I know about because they aren't really pertinent to what's going on right now. Plus, I do find like his overall story and certain elements of his career really fascinating and interesting. And I felt a stronger urge to go in that direction than dwell and get negative in the past. So I guess that's why.
Because you could have, you really could have gone there and kind of got in the mud.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
It probably would have got ugly.
10 years ago, when I first started here, that's probably exactly what would have happened.
And if you did go there, I don't think we finished the hour.
No, we definitely wouldn't have. Because some of the places I would have gone would have, either there would have been a fight like in the studio, or there'd be somebody just stomping out. And I didn't want that to happen either. Because this has never, ever been a personal thing. Some people don't believe that. Hopefully I proved that. That it was never a personal thing. It was my impression of what was either positive or negative for the Broncos. Because all we really care about, I think, as Broncos fans, is the Broncos succeeding. But sometimes things off the field do impact what happens on the field. And you know, so that's that. So that's a good question. I was ready to go there. I think a long time ago I would have gone there. And I just felt like I don't need to. I guess that's it, believe it or not. So there you go.
Before we go, thank you. Before we go, I wanted to make sure I said one thing. Is that they're doing this search for your co-host. And I know for a lot of people, it sounded so strange because you and I do a very similar job and I don't have a Super Bowl ring. And I made a joke about the seat exploding because I didn't have a Super Bowl ring. I appreciate you. And I want to make sure I said this on the air. I appreciate you being courteous to me and receptive to me this week. And I just wanted to leave it there.
You're a good dude. You're all right. Good for you, Zach. Should we hear from Mark Schlereth and get into this replay? Let's do it next.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Everybody's talking about what went on yesterday as D-Mac and Emmanuel Sanders went mano a mano on 104.3 The Fan, the afternoon show from 5 to 6 yesterday. But there was something he said about the quarterback position replacing Peyton Manning that really kind of said where this team is and some of the problems they've been having. If you play that for me, Benny.
If you know anything about sports, the quarterback is the main position. The quarterback touches the ball every single play in football. The quarterback determines the outcome of games, and we have yet to find us a quarterback. That's evident. We have Peyton Manning as a quarterback, one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He had this city on fire. He was the number one offense in the NFL for a very long time. A great leader in the locker room, and we have yet to replace him.
Yet to replace him. And here's the thing. You've replaced the quarterback. You had Case Keenum. You have Trevor Siemian. You had Paxton Lynch. I mean, you've replaced the position, not with, you know, great players, but with bodies. But to me, the bigger factor here is you haven't replaced the leadership. You haven't replaced the attention to detail. You haven't replaced guys holding other guys or one guy holding everybody else accountable. You haven't replaced the work ethic. You haven't replaced what Peyton Manning brought to this organization. And I think part of the reason is because everybody just relied on Peyton Manning to provide that. And that, to me, is Joe Flacco's biggest responsibility coming in here, setting a tone, setting a culture, and making sure that everybody adheres to that when they go out there and put their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.